Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Snowboarder extraordinaire. That's the nothing personal word of the day. You have found a Samson sit down with Maddie Mastro, an actual snowboarder extraordinaire. We're talking about a medalist at the X Games. We're talking about someone who has accomplished more at the age of 22 than most of us will, period, at the age of my age. Maddie, welcome to Nothing Personal. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is great. Thank you for joining us. I want to get right down into it. I want to tell people exactly who you are, what you do, except I want you to do it in your words because I've watched you on TV. I've watched your clips. I've engaged with your social media. But tell our audience right from the top, what do you want them to know about you?
So I am a snowboarder from California. I grew up in Southern California. I spent most of my winters chasing the snow, still do. I've been to 2 Olympics now, X Games, just following the contest circuit around. I compete in half pipe. That's the thing that looks like quite literally half of a pipe. And that's just a little snippet into kind of what I've been doing since I was 15.
So you've been to 2 Olympic Games already at 22. What is the career generally of a snowboarder extraordinaire? What is the earliest that you can start making money, and what's the latest that you can look down at a half pipe and say, you know what, I may break a hip?
I think every day you look down the half pipe and you think, I may break a hip. So that is kind of just consistent whether you're 15 or 30. But for career length, it just really depends on the athlete. You can go from pretty much you start your professional career when you're 15, hopefully. And then it can last until you're 30, 35. But the general range is 15 to 35. And 35 is you're killing the game. You're doing something right.
So what do you do when you're 15? When we in baseball, we draft players, international players, when they're 16. In the U.S., you can't draft someone till they're 18 or out of high school. 15 seems to me to be very young to be professional. Who has to be with you? Do you have an agent? How quickly do you get an agent? And did your parents travel around with you when you were 15?
Yes. And so growing up, you go through that, like, it's almost like growing up playing AYSO soccer or something. You're doing the regional contest, you're doing all that. And then by 15, for me personally, I started doing more of the pro circuit. That was kind of 15 is the age limit for a lot of the pros, like the World Cups. You have to be 15 to compete in them. So when you're 15 and if you qualify to make the pro circuit, you kind of just start that circuit. You can get an agent when you're 15 or younger. It really just depends from athlete to athlete. I mean, I think there's some athletes that have gotten agents when they're probably 11 and they're going to be these little phenomenal stars of snowboarders. So it really depends on the athlete. For me, I was about 15 when I got my first agent. My parents did travel with me up until a certain point. There was a certain point when they had to like cut me loose. They're like, we got jobs. We got to go back to like, here's your, you travel with your coach. They're going to watch you. You better be good. Go do your thing.
Did you know when you were 11 that you were good? 11's super young in my mind.
It's super. So I started snowboarding when I was I started skiing when I was 2. And then I switched to snowboarding when I was about 5 or 6. And I was just, I'm still in, obviously, a very competitive person. And that was very true when I was 6 or 11. And I wouldn't say I knew I was super good at it, but I definitely knew that I had fun with snowboarding. And I also knew I liked to win. And so those two things kind of went hand in hand when I was 11. I think maybe my parents knew I was good. My parents definitely knew that I had some potential, or else they wouldn't have probably been so helpful and driving me places, taking me to events. But they definitely knew I had potential. For me, it really was just something. When you're 11, it's all about having fun.
When you were on skis at 2, I started at 4. And the way my dad taught me to ski is he put me on the top of the hill, brought me up the lift, and said, go on down. And I cried and I said, I can't. It looks like I'm on the top of Mount Everest. And he said, no problem. It's harder when it's dark. And and now I guess that would be considered abusive. But at the end of the day, it made me into this great skier. I mean, I knew I was good from when I was 4. I'm just kidding. I've always been just a casual skier. But I'm trying to picture you at 2. What was, I can't get a 2-year-old, you know, to not go in a diaper. What does a parent do to teach you at 2? And then how did you know that you even liked it at 2?
My parents' whole thing for us growing up was like, we came with them to do all their activities. They're very active. And what my parents and my mom always say is like, we wanted to go skiing and daycare was too expensive, so they just came with. So we just always got thrown into the mix of doing all the activities. And I pretty much fell in love with skiing. I didn't want to switch to snowboarding, which is a little secret. Don't tell my snowboarding friends that. But I love skiing. And I remember having that love for skiing. I just love going fast, and my skis allowed me to do that. But then once I switched to snowboarding, I realized that it was amazing, and I newfound love for that. But I just love skiing, and I love going fast. And my parents just, it was just something that was included in life, is we participate, we ski, we try all the sports you can, whatever you can do, we're doing it. Soccer, baseball, skateboarding, surfing, skiing. It was kind of just a given in our family of we participate in outdoor activities and sports.
So what's it like when you're a teenager and you say to yourself, you know, I may be able to go to the Olympics? Not many people have ever been able to ever say that. So how does that conversation go when your friends are out there trying to maybe get boyfriends or girlfriends, or they're trying to figure out how to get through geometry, and you're saying to yourself, I could go to the Olympics? How did that conversation go in your mind?
It was definitely, I think I realized that when I was about 14. I went to my first Olympics in 2018. So I realized at the 2014 Olympics that this was definitely a possibility. And when you're 14, I think I was a freshman in, or maybe even in like eighth grade, not yet a freshman, in high school. So it kind of definitely changed the way that I was viewing high school and going to school every day. I had to then make a plan and reroute my life a little bit and do homeschooling more often. But it was a different shift of what my friends were thinking at school than I was. And growing up in the snowboarding world, I think the Olympics is something that is kind of this 4-year cycle that is talked about a lot and almost normalized within the snowboarding. So I had the perfect mix of like being in normal school and also snowboarding. So like being in high school with all my friends that are working on playing soccer or classes, it really helped kind of put it in perspective of like how big of an opportunity the Olympics are. And it was kind of a crazy thing to like comprehend at 14. I don't think I realized it until I was 18, kind of how crazy that concept is, that at 14, I realized I could go to the Olympics.
Who told you you made the team? How did that conversation go? Was it on the phone, by text?
So the way the qualifying works is you go to a bunch of different qualifying events leading up to the Olympics the same season. And my mom had it like mapped out of like how many points I had, where I was sitting in the rankings, what other people had to do in order to bump me out of it. And so I think we were driving from to Colorado for an event. And my mom told me, like, I've done the math. And you've made the team. They're not, I can't announce it officially, but I've done every single possibility. I've done all the equations. You've made the team. There's no way you can't make the team. And I remember sitting in the passenger seat and her telling me that, and just kind of like this relief coming
scream?
Off my shoulders.
You didn't look at the veil pass and say, oh my God, I've conquered you?
There was so much emotion and energy going on. Like the only thing that like felt natural was like literally just breathing. And it was just kind of like relaxed. Like, okay, we did it. I'm going to the Olympics.
I love the fact that you said we. People underestimate the role that parents have and coaches have and agents have. Athletes have a very hard job. You have to be the best at what you do to be professional. But there's a whole lot of things going on behind the scenes that in theory are supposed to clear your head and enable you to compete at your best. And I want you to give a shout out, if you don't mind. Tell me about your team. Shout out to your team right now.
My team. We've got mom, dad. We've got boyfriend, Ryan Walkendorfer, also a snowboarder. My coach, James Jackson. My PTT too. They're standing in the room. They just raised their hands up. And then my agent, Tom Yaps, all my sponsors, all my partnerships, my dog Pippi. Wouldn't be able to do it without my dog.
Oh, come on. Don't bring that here. We're trying to have what does Pippi do?
Pippi is she's my emotional support animal. It sounds crazy, but you come home after a hard day and you just got a happy dog that helps with my mental health overall. And couldn't do it without a dog. Dogs just make everything better.
How many Twix a day do you eat, would you say?
For me, I mean, we've got a busy day, so I try to get in one at lunch and we're good to go.
I'm a candy addict. We have to talk about Twix because you're doing something that is so cool. And for people watching this on YouTube at Nothing Personal with David Sampson, if you're listening, go watch it. Because behind Maddie looks like two skis, but it's actually one snowboard, except it's only designed by half. The other half is blank, and you, not me, not Maddie, because I assume that we can't qualify to do it, but one of you listening or somebody has a chance to design this snowboard. So what Maddie did is she partnered with Twix. I can only assume that they came. Who came, by the way, before we say, who came up with this? It's my favorite promotion I've ever seen.
Well, so this is called the Twix Snowboard behind me, and it's a split board, and this will help give a little context. So a split board is a snowboard that breaks into two, and then you use it so you can then walk up the mountain pretty much like skis, and you stand on them and you use them as like kind of like snowshoes, and it helps you get up a mountain, and then you put them back together to go down. But it splits into a left and a right, and as we know, Twix has a left and a right, so it matched perfectly, and they created the Twix snowboard, and so it's left or right, what side design. I've designed the right side. And the left side is for my fans, the audience, anyone to go and submit a design to be chosen to be the left side.
So you go to twix.com/cookie dough. I kid you not. That is it. twix.com/cookie dough. And you only have till Wednesday, February 8th. So you go there, and then one lucky winner is actually going to have your design chosen. Your design will be put on the board, but even cooler, well, that's actually sort of really cool. You get to meet Maddie and try out the board. And then Twix is going to give away 100 Twix dough boards. Now, we do a lot of reads and we promote a lot of things, but this one I am doing out of the love of this idea. Because the fact that somebody, are you going to use that in competition? Or are you going to use it casually? Tell me.
So I compete in half pipe. And so we've got certain boards for that. But when I'm not competing in half pipe, I spend a lot of my time doing this thing called split boarding, which is what this board is exactly designed to do, which is a way to explore the mountain, the backcountry, another side of snowboarding. So this will be my go-to when I am not in the half pipe and just exploring the mountain.
Well, I think that's really, really super cool. I want to get to two other things. I don't know how much time you have, but I have a question for you. When you are talking about and going to the X Games and going to the Olympics, there's been a lot of talk about equal pay, about gender equality, and trying to figure out who's doing what. You're 22. Mind. Do you feel pressure to speak out given how big your platform is? Do you think about issues like equal pay when you're talking to your sponsors, etc.? Tell me where you are in this sort of debate that is so overdue but so current right now.
I think for me, I've been grateful enough to have the right team support me and have those hard conversations when it comes to equal pay and all those big conversations to help me and guide me through those. And I am backed by an amazing group of sponsors that have the same beliefs and support me as a woman. And I do think snowboarding and all these companies have come a long way when it comes to equal pay, but it's not something that is we're done talking about yet. It's definitely something that is still there. And it's something I think about, but I have the right group behind me to help support me and have those big conversations and make sure that I'm being paid what is my value and what I deserve. So I'm super grateful for the team that I have. And equal pay is something that I believe is a topic that still should be talked about and until it doesn't need to anymore.
Well, I'll tell you something. As a professional snowboarder extraordinaire, you are doing a lot of great things in and out of the half pipe. I want to talk about, before I let you go, your promotion and what you're doing to make sure people get it. You're partnered with Twix. There's a Twix doughboard that's been created. It's a split board. Please, right now, everybody, go to twix.com/cookiedough. Only through Wednesday, February 8th. So if you're past that, just go to the store and buy Twix and watch Maddie compete. But if it's before the 8th, go to twix.com/cookiedough and your design on the split board could be the winner. And they're going to give away 100 of them, plenty of Twix. You get to meet Maddie. And all in all, that sounds pretty cool. Maddie, I appreciate your time. I know you got to run. You're busy. And we will be watching you and following your career. You have at least 13 great years in front of you. And I look forward to catching up with you again one day soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.